Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, welcome back. It's Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. And yeah, you know it. If you listened to yesterday, we got our main man from Rams Podcast back. It is James Kroger. James, welcome back. Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams. Glad to have you as always.
Thank you for having me back, Bear. And I feel so welcome, even though I've requested to be on both these shows.
Yeah, you're kind of annoying, but you're my best bud. So, you know, it's allowed.
Sympathy guest.
Yeah. You're a good sympathy guest. You fill your role well, man. I was listening to the podcast, actually. Yes, we listen to our own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are good. But I checked it out yesterday just to kind of go over and see what we talked about, kind of prep for today. And I must say, your info on Jared Goff and the college days in that read option got me again. I kind of forgot you mentioned it in the first show. I really enjoyed that. So you're not only a sympathy guest, but you're pretty darn good.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, I was happy to spit that out. But the reason I even had that stat in the first place because I was so excited about that play from him.
Yeah.
You know, I had to drop that on Rams Nation. So.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, but just that whole, you know, causing a havoc for the D coordinator, and now the Giants and Houston, who we have after that, as they're game planning and watching film, they got a plan for that now. Like, that's something that came out of nowhere. Never probably expected to see that happening with Jared Goff as your quarterback. Not saying he's, you know, immobile, because obviously he can move when he needs to, but you didn't think you'd have to prep for a read option with Jared Goff, and obviously it worked well because the guy on the edge was no way, shape, or form thought that Jared was going to come out with that. So, yeah, it just adds that extra element, and that's what I love about McVay. His whole playbook is open. Last year, that would have been Jeff Fisher. He would have been like, well, what's another way we can do with Tavon Austin like this? He would have had Tavon run the read option right there.
Yeah.
But it's a new year, new coach, 31 years old, youngest coach in the league, and he has the number one scoring offense in the league. They are just, you know, making news everywhere. And when I say that lightly. And I say that because we just watched a segment on PTI, and it was the boys talking about these Rams, are they legit? And Kornheiser, you know, hesitated, but he basically said, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I'm thinking it.
Yeah.
Is he the next Bill Belichick? It's early, and they're loving this offensive-minded that we have here with Coach McVay.
Yeah, and the best part of what he said was essentially he didn't mention the fact that it's due to our schedule or some of these teams that we face or some of the issues within the schedule. For example, Carson Palmer breaking his arm. So he didn't even mention that once. He didn't really want to commit to the statement, but just like the rest of the NFL, I really think the fans in the NFL, they don't want to admit it, but they all know in the back of their mind that this is really something special.
Well, I think every year there's a couple teams that break out early and then kind of fade near the end, and so everyone's just kind of holding out, and especially how bad the Rams were last year. And, you know, they mentioned on the show, Jared Goff was almost nationally ranked as a bust, and he only played 6 games, and they're like, oh, because how bad he played in those 6 games, and it's like, well, he didn't have an offensive line. He didn't even have a head coach, to be honest, for most of his time. And was really set up to fail from the beginning. So now we're seeing him, and they're calling McVay the quarterback whisperer. You know, rebuilding this mindset of this quarterback. And we mentioned it yesterday in the show as he did his interview, and he talked about we're not satisfied, but you know, we came in expecting to win. He's becoming McVay as far as his attitude and what he believes in this team, and it's showing. They look so comfortable.
Well, let's, you know, looking at the comparison from last year, but let's just keep in mind how we looked maybe the last 6 years or so.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Rams Nation has been committed for a lot longer than that, And we've kind of proven in those last 6 years that we're not really one of those teams to brag about. We haven't been worth talking about on these mainstream shows like PTI, and now we're kind of how they're starting out their conversation. So it's a complete turnaround, but it makes sense for them not mentioning us or giving us that much credit, because take a look at where we've been, you know, that's 7-9 BS and those 8-8 records that Rams Nation has had to deal with. So
definitely, and you know, I'll shout out my cousin here because he was a Tennessee Titan fan for the longest time, and you know, when we had Jeff Fisher, you know, he just kept saying, "You guys got to get rid of him because you'll never get out of that mix." And he has a good way of selling, you know, that they're building, they're getting better, you know, but at the end of the day, they're not. They're an 8-8 team. So I was excited to see us get away from that and bring in this young mind, and really for it to click so fast. I think that's the one thing that is, you know, people are still questioning. It's like you expected maybe over some time, some young guys, a couple moves, get better, but not to just turn around like this and just come out 5-2 in the first, you know, portion of our season before the bye, and to really look dominant at points. So exciting stuff to only continue from these Rams.
Yeah, and it also, the best part about this is the reason that a lot of these shows can't blame the teams we've faced so far on our success is because they see a lot of the times the adjustments we're making.
Take
a look, and I keep mentioning this, on our rush defense at the beginning of the season, it was almost kind of a joke. They were just running all over us. But now, you know what we did last game? We busted out some stats yesterday. We held Arizona and Adrian Peterson to under 25 overall rushing yards. So we're able to evolve and make these adjustments. And you were talking earlier about, you know, the comparison to Bill Belichick and, you know, what these other teams are going to have to look out for offensively. Well, it's hard. You mentioned how they're going to have to look out for Goff now, potentially rolling out. Well, I don't know what they're going to look out for, because we have so many threats. We have, you know, Robert Woods is obviously Goff's favorite right now, but that doesn't mean he can't start tossing that to Sammy Watkins, which I want to talk about a little bit later. And then there's always Cooper Kupp.
Mentioned the weapons, and we, you know, we haven't even had both tight ends going off at the same time. We've had, you know, some really great games from Everett, and he's made some big plays, and then Higbee has had his moment.
A lot of targets.
Yeah, when we start getting both those guys, it's tough to pick which one you want to, you know, on a defense side of the ball, which one you want to focus in on. And like you said, we've got all these weapons that have really come together all within this last year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've made a couple jokes in the past about Kenny Britt looking back, and you know, he's probably lucky that he's not on this team anymore, because he would be on our practice squad. Probably not that far. Maybe I'm taking a little far, but
he'd be the highest paid practice squad.
Yeah, he would be. And but he wouldn't be getting the love that he got last year, because, you know, he was really all that we had at wide receiver. But only exciting things to come from this team. We have the bye week, get healthy, which we already are pretty healthy. So another key piece of this whole team, which I think, you know, maybe we overlook a little bit. We mention it quite a bit, but the health of this team has been huge to the success of this team, because if one of those guys starts going out and limits our offensive, you know, opportunity, or even on the defense side, if we having to fill in. I mean, think about the beginning of the season. It was Dominic Easley went down, and we were like, what do we do on the front line? And Brocker stepped up huge for us, and we've had, you know, Donald return to the team and get back to his form. So this team is definitely already filled in, but just imagine if we had a guy like Easley still healthy and on the team. That front line would be just as strong as we saw last week over the whole season. So we'll get into that, because I want to talk about that D-line and where we think we're actually going over the rest of the season here soon. You had talked about Goff and Gurley and all these weapons. You know, moving forward in that piece of the puzzle, you know, where do you see why our offense is being so productive that it is so far?
Yeah, well, you mentioned a few minutes ago McVay kind of being the quarterback whisperer, which is absolutely true, but he's been doing a lot more whispering, Barry, because, you know, take a peek at Todd Gurley. He, you know, he's obviously having an impact here, but he's not the one directly coaching Gurley, and Gurley's doing huge things right now in the NFL. So far, he's rushed for 627 yards. On top of that, 293, almost 300 yards receiving, and obviously he has 8 touchdowns there too. So Gurley has a major impact. And then, you know, when we talked yesterday, we talked about this offensive line and some of the credit that they may not be getting. Well, that's a lot of the reason that Goff's able to have this success as well. It's just an all-around amazing offense.
Definitely in the offensive line. I mean, we've got two guys that are ranking in the top 10 of Pro Football Focus offensive linemen, and that's John Sullivan, who's a little banged up right now, but not too serious. Perfect time for that bye week for him. And then obviously Whitworth, who we picked up in the offseason. So those two additions that we have, those two guys are ranking in the top 10 as far as offensive lineman efficiency, which has been huge to our success. Todd Gurley's now looking, it was last year, it was like he just was running into the our own, you know, butts of our own linemen going forward and head down and, you know, confidence wasn't there. And now you see him taking it outside and making these jump cuts back in, and you're seeing guys pull and get down the field and really getting blocks 10, 15 yards down the field, and we're seeing Todd Gurley run, man.
Well, it's almost like Moses is splitting this defense at some of these times. I've seen some amazing pictures from the Rams photographers, and these
defenses. I could run through there and pick up 15.
Yeah, we could sprint through there, yeah. So
maybe 11. I'd pick up the first down. I'd get a concussion. I'd be on the sideline, and Brad looks to be heading to the medical tent for possible concussion.
His leg is sideways.
Oh, he's puking out the side, people. I think that's enough. Night for him.
He's crying.
Yeah. And I'd be like, can I get the game jersey?
Did he get that on film?
Yeah.
Did we get the first?
Yeah, throw the ball to the side and keep that one. we joke, man. I really quick, we talked about, we were watching the Monday Night Football game, and this lineman just got jacked up on a play that like would probably put me or you on a stretcher. And they get him up to his feet, and he comes limping off, and the announcer goes, well, it looks like he's walking off. He'll be all right. And it's like, these guys, that they're getting beat up so much, these announcers, people like us, we're like, get up, you wuss. But they're getting hit by Mack trucks on every play, and some of these guys' legs don't bend, you know, past a certain point, and their two pinkies are pointing at each other, and this and that, and it's like, you know, and we're sitting here going, eh, he'll be fine. Double tape that up and get out there, bud. Like,
by the way, I stubbed my toe earlier and I started crying.
And then, exactly. And then, you know, you hit me in the shin once and I'm just like, I'm over.
I gotta call sick tomorrow.
So I just thought that was interesting. These guys are tough, tough guys. And, you know, I appreciate Sullivan getting out there and playing when he's banged up, and all those guys continuing to go. Real quick, while we're talking about the banged up, Joe Thomas, who's the offensive lineman for Cleveland, he had the most consecutive snaps in a row in history of NFL. He was like the Cal Ripken Jr. of offensive linemen of NFL players, basically. He ends up tearing his, I think it was his pectoral muscle, halfway through the game on Sunday, which broke his streak. When he came out, they jumped into red zone to let you know his streak is over. We expect him to come back in the play or two. Wrong. He missed the rest of the game. Now he's talking about retirement. So from running this streak of, I don't even want to quote it, but I want to say upwards of like, it was like 3,500 consecutive plays. It was like 9 seasons in a row of never missing a snap. And we're talking about an offensive lineman. Wow. The guy that gets beat up from every angle on every snap. And now he went to tearing his pectoral and may never return. He may retire. He's like in a veteran role of that
and
long.
And he's for
so,
Cleveland?
A Cleveland guy. He was the mainstay.
Maybe a fake injury because, that, what are they, 0-6 right now?
He's like, yeah, it really hurts. I don't think I can never play unless you trade me to the Patriots. Then I might be all right. Or the Rams. Trade me the Rams. Let's join with Whitworth and see what's up. But no, I thought I would mention that because I watched that. I thought that was pretty crazy. Well, James, we're going to try something else out here. We're going to transition our way over. I caught myself watching a movie that I love oh so much. The movie Rounders came on.
Nice.
And I was like, got to watch it. If you guys aren't familiar, it's a poker movie with Matt Damon and who else?
Bear's favorite.
Edward Norton's, I think, in it. Yeah, it's a good crew. It's a poker movie about hustling poker, this and that. And then I just started. I was like, I need to get a poker group back. And then this popped into me, man. I was like, we're going to do a segment.
Podcasting always on the mind.
Yeah, podcasting always on the mind. We're going to do a segment because they talked about going all in or knowing when to fold, right? That was one of the things that they talked about in the movie. And sometimes you just got to fold, get a new set of cards, unless you're cheating like these guys on Rounders. But sometimes you just got to take your lumps and realize I'm not going to win on that hand. I'll wait for the next hand, right? Or you got to push all your chips in and go big. So we're going to call a segment, we're going to go all in or I'm folding.
Okay.
All right? So I'm going to toss up an idea. You can toss one back, and I want you to, you know, basically say, I'm all in on this idea, or I need to see a couple more hands to see if I want to go in, so I'm going to fold this hand, right? We're going to start it off with the D-line. D-line had an amazing, amazing game last week. We talked about holding Adrian Peterson and holding their whole team under rushing under 30 yards, basically, right? The last three, four games, overall, our defense has really stuck it up. Since basically the first half of that Cowboys game, we've only given up 33 points, I think, over those full games. So we've been a dominant force on the defense side of the ball. My question to you is, are you all in on this Rams D-line? Mm-hmm. Or do you think that we're still going to hit our bumps and you're going to fold for now and you're going to wait to see if this team's legit? So on the D-line, are you all in? Are you folding and you want to see a little bit more of them?
All right, Bear. I have to tell you, so looking at some of these stats, through the first 14 quarters of the season, the Rams allowed 99 points. Early on, they were pegged as one of the worst defenses in the league. 606 rushing yards. We talked, you know, through some of our podcasts on they were, through the first quarter, I really believe, one of the worst rushing defensive lines out there. So if it was early on there, I probably would have folded. But right now, you know, Arizona didn't score anything against us. We have made the appropriate adjustments. One thing Wade Phillips has done, he moved Michael Brockers over to a defensive end position, who's previously at a tackle position, and he put your boy Tansel Smart from our bet from the very beginning.
Still waiting on the rest of those beers to come my way.
Yeah.
Me and James bet to see if Tansel Smart would make the team or not on our Rams podcast right after the draft show, because basically James was over talking about our draft picks, and we got to Tansel Smart. And I was like, dude, this guy's going to be good. And James was like, he's going to get cut. And we made a bet right then and there. I'm still collecting, but go on.
All right. Well, good for you with your Tansel Smart pick. Smart pick. So what that's really done for this team is allowed Brockers to become more of a pass rusher. And boy, have we seen the impact he's had.
Yeah.
He's had two quarterback hits, two passes defended. Prior to that, he didn't even have a single sack and hit the quarterback just once. So he's having a major impact to this team. I'm all in, baby.
Woo!
I think we're going to continue this streak and continue to evolve and make adjustments and be a really dynamic defense.
So you're pushing the chips in and you're asking Housk if you can borrow some money because you're going
I'm
in.
I'm looking you in the eye going all in.
All right. All in. Don't splash the pot though, okay?
All right, Bear. I had my up. I was up and I went all in on the defense. Now, I want to ask you one thing that you know, we've been talking about a little bit in the past couple games is Sean McVay. He's the youngest head coach in the NFL. But with that, he does make a couple moves that have people question his decision-making a bit. And one of those, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things is his time management. We saw he sucked up timeouts early on in this last game, and he's done that in previous games. How do you feel about that? Are you all in? Are you folding on his time management skills? How do you feel about all this?
Yeah, you know what? On this, I think right off the bat, and let me explain myself, I'm going to say I'm folding for right now. I need to see a little bit more body of work from this, but I'm not too concerned, right? I'm not going to go all in on it because I don't think he's really figured this out yet. So I'm going to fold on this hand, but I'll tell you why. Because I'm not too mad at it, right? There's going to be a point of the game. Yes, second half timeouts are way more important than first half. They all are important at a certain point. But there's a couple times where I saw us call timeouts. One, it was early in the game. It felt like there was no reason for the timeout, but you can tell McVay just wanted to pull his guy over and go, you know, hey, loosen up, get back to what we're doing. You got to, you know, it's refocusing timeout, right?
Yeah.
There was another one.
Avoiding mistakes.
Yeah. There was another one where we were down by the goal line. It was a third down play. The clock was winding down. Jared Goff almost really looked to take the penalty and back us up five more yards. And he came out and pulled the trigger on a timeout. People on Twitter seemed to be like, what's he doing? Why is he taking another timeout? But it saved us the penalty. It allowed him to bring it back, get a good play. We actually hit Cooper Kupp in the end zone for another one that was close for a touchdown. I jumped like we got it, but it was an amazing play by the defender. Mm. He ripped the ball out.
Yeah.
I don't put that on Cooper. Yes, over time. He's a rookie, people. He'll bring that in, right? But I'm not worried long-term because he's going to learn his own way. It's just like challenging plays. You got to kind of do it to understand where you're at. He's got amazing resources around him. Bones obviously was there last year as a head coach, and he learned a little bit about time management and how to do that, and he utilized the team around him. He's got Wade Phillips, who's a veteran, been a head coach. So I'm giving him the green light to do what he wants here. There's going to be a time at the end of a game, second half is different. We're going to come down. We may revisit this conversation, and I'll be a little bit more mad about how he use some of those, but first half, blow them as you choose. You know, obviously we saw them execute ending of the half, and we still got points, so you can't say he took points off the board there. But at the end of the game, he's got to be a little bit more cautious with it. But it's something to watch because you're right, he hasn't been the greatest with it. But in his mind, he's using those timeouts wisely, and he sees his team in a position where they need to get a breather or they need to have a quick talking to. So I'm going to let him do his thing, but for now, I'm going to fold on that.
All right. Well, McVay, better than believing your time management skills.
It's not that I don't believe in you. I'm just watching you a little closely. First half, do you. Do you in the first half. Second half, you better be careful.
I have to agree with you, though, because the best thing you said was that we were preventing mistakes, because an interception or some stupid mistake like that would have done a lot more negative impact to this offense than to just sacrificing a timeout.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally. Well, let's continue this roll here. The cards are being dealt right now as we speak, and it's your time to figure out if you're going to hold them or fold them, my friend.
All right.
So you're going all in, or are you going to fold and see a little bit more before you make that big bet? This one, we talked about our offensive line. We're excited about where they're at. They're really opening things up. Todd Gurley's having a completely different year than last year and way better year than he had in his first. Right now, he's rushed for 627 yards. On the ground, he said 293 receiving, 8 touchdowns. That basically puts him on pace for 1,400 yards rushing, over 600 receiving, and 18 touchdowns. The last person and only person to do that was Priest Holmes of the Chiefs. Now, are you going all in on Todd Gurley to hit these numbers? Basically, over 2,000 total yards and 18 touchdowns. Are you all in on this movement? Are you going to wait and see a couple more games, fold this hand, and wait till later in the season to go all in? All in or folding?
Well, I feel like I have the poker whisperer in my ear right now, because the stats you're dropping right now are just making me think, like, go all in.
Yeah.
Do it. And then, you take a look at our schedule and the next few teams we face, it wouldn't make sense for me to wait on that, because I have a big feeling that Todd Gurley is going to continue this streak and this pace in those next couple games that we have coming on against the Giants, possibly the Texans, Vikings, and then Saints after that. So I'm going all in on this. I think Todd Gurley has just helped carry this offense, and he's been one of the best rushers in the NFL. And with that said, I don't see why I wouldn't go all in. I got an ace queen here.
Hey. All right, James is going all in on Todd Gurley. I'm not too far behind you. I love the way this is projecting out. I love how he has had 4 of his last 5 games over 100 yards. And there are those 100-yard games where you look up and you're like, oh, yeah, he's at 100 yards. I mean, they're not the wow factor. Like, you know, he's like at 175, but he's pumping them out, and he's his average. And the way he's breaking these 15-yard runs, these 12-yard runs, and making them look like a 3-yard run is what is exciting about it. You know, that consistency that he's doing. And then just how his attitude, man, that swagger is real. None of that fake news swag, man. Mm-hmm. This is real talk swag. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in his offensive line. And that's just making things open up easier for Goff. So, you know what? You want to borrow some money? I'm going all in with you, bud.
This isn't Carl's Jr. commercial swag.
No.
He's done with those days.
Yeah. By the way, James hated the Carl's Jr. commercial.
Hated it.
It was, it wasn't the best. It was his Welcome to LA commercial and the annoying guy from Jerry Maguire, who did a little bit of the Rams
like
talk.
20 years older now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a fake burger, and it made me throw up, actually, the first time I watched it.
Not a big fan of that commercial. Get that. Okay. Well, moving on, James, we got one more. What do you got for me? We're going to do our last round of all in or I'm folding.
All right. Well, Bears, speaking of things that have an ill taste in your mouth, there's been a lot of negative feedback on these uniforms that we're rocking right now. But I got to tell you, I'm loving it. And I think it's doing well for the luck of the team.
Okay.
But I got to ask you, are you feeling these uniforms right now? Or are you folding on them? Or are you thinking they're just going to – it's just – a phase, or are you ready to rock them?
You know what? Ugh, this is a tough one, because I feel like there's so many people listening to this answer right now with their Twitter open, just ready to just go in on me right now.
What's he going to say? Yeah, at @Elliot_RavenBear.
He better get her back with this uniform thing. He better be on the same side. I get it, right? I get the outcry for the old unis to bring back, you know, those throwbacks that, I mean, they look so beautiful when we do bring them out, right? They pop. It feels right. It's everything that – one of the things I saw is, like, basically, it's everything that's in the stands. So the thing that's on the field isn't really, showing true to what is everyone in the stands. But here's my thing. I'm not about jerseys, man. I love it. Cool. You look cool on the field. I'm about wins. We're 5-2. I don't care if we walked out there in our practice unis and whooped some butt. So,
pajama day.
You know me and you. We're a little superstitious. We're almost like cutting cable and unplugging wires so one of us can fail. And we
like what was mentioned on social media this week. I was like, I felt guilty not struggling to watch the game.
Me too. I was like nervous. Like, if things start going bad for us, I'm going to just like unplug. I'm just going to cut the power.
My cable
my
busted. Yeah. I guess I can't watch it. And time for Gamecast.
And then I took a hammer to the outlet socket. But no, so I mean, I'm a little superstitious. We've been playing well with ugly ass uniforms. So why change it? You know what I mean? I would love to see us. And whole other thing to my argument here is it doesn't matter if we sign a petition, if we tweet, angry, everybody.
They're changing them.
Well, it's by NFL rule and regulation. Like, you have to have a certain amount of time period between moving and changing your unis. And we're basically on a waiting list right now going absolutely nowhere until the NFL says, yep, okay, you're good to go.
Hey, we're going
to
lose $5 million on all these old uniforms.
You know,
sales.
It's for me right now, it's a useless battle. So I don't know where this really came from. I'm going to fold on this and wait to see more, because I'm not going all in on the uni thing, because right now I'm a little superstitious. And when we have ugly uniforms, we seem to be doing well. And I don't care if, you know, we wore those practice jerseys out. I'm all about the wins on the field, so I can't wait. I got my jersey. I know my jersey looks clean as hell, so I ain't mad about what
you
they're
got the
rocking.
Good colors, though.
I do. I got, you know, yeah, thanks to the Seahawks.
Looking sharp there.
Thanks to the Seahawkers podcast on the lost bet. They had to pay that up. But yeah, so that would be my answer there. You know, not too worried about it. I'll fold. I'll wait for the next
hand. Not too worried. Yeah. I'm not going to worry.
Yeah. So, well, that was our first edition of All In or I'm Folding. Let us know what you guys think. We did complaint forms last week. We're going to try out a few different fun things to just get some information your way. As always, reach out. Right next to me, I've got Jay Kroger. That is on Twitter, at Jay Kroger. Don't forget, it's K-R-O-E-G-E-R. Double E.
Thank you.
Okay.
Three.
He's making sure. We want to make sure we're getting him in the followers.
If you guys follow me on at Rams Podcast, you're going to see me retweeting almost everything. So you can find me if you want to.
If they really want to find you, they'll find you.
Come on.
You know you want to. So give him a follow. And then, of course.
And if you don't like Bears' game or his prediction on the jerseys, he is at LA _ rambling bear. But if you do like the predictions, hit me up.
I see what you did there, trying to come on my show and take over. And then, obviously, of course, we're dropping at Rams Podcast. Is dropping an episode once a week. We're about to record that right after this episode. We're excited. Glad you guys are joining us, as always. I think we've racked up another 25-minute episode here, James, so we'll call it good for today.
All right.
Guys, any comments, questions, concerns, hit me up. Locked On Rams as well. We want to talk about what we want to hear. We're going to start doing some more giveaways. I did one this weekend, trying to get you guys involved for a $25 gift card to Lids. Maybe get yourself a new clean hat. Let me know what you'd want to see at the giveaway portion, and I'll work that in. I want to just see some interaction. I want to get Rams Nation all united and tweeting together and hearing what you guys think about these games coming up, because me and James talk about it every week, but I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on our team and what you expect game to game. So we're going to do those. Maybe pre-game balls, maybe do score predictions, anything else you guys think that would be a fun game, shoot
whatever
it out
you
to
like
us.
To hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all about the people, man.
And we carry that over to Rams Podcast, too.
We're
so
about the nation.
Let us know. Yeah. Let us know.
All right, guys. With that said, you know the deal. Till next time, Rams Nation.
Peace. Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.